Again to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 and reading from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11. We are continuing our series in our study on Hebrews chapter 11, this great hall of fame, chapter about faith. The life of faith, believing God. Hebrews 11 verse 1. God's Word says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what we've seen was not made out of things that are visible." Down to verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who seek Him." May God bless to us the reading of His precious Word. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, here we are in Your holy presence this morning. And in our hands we have Your Word to us. The Scriptures. The only certain. The only sufficient. The only infallible rule of all saving knowledge, saving faith, and saving obedience. Oh, we do pray that You would feed us this morning from Your Word. Strengthen us in our faith, we pray. Build us up in our most holy faith, so that we may contend for the faith. We thank You for each one gathered in Your presence. Sanctify us, dear Lord, with Your presence this morning. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, we are still dealing with the glorious excellencies of what faith is. In fact, if you look at verse 1, verse 1 is simply stated, it is a particular description of what faith is. When you look at verse 2, verse 2 is a particular demonstration of what faith does. So right up front, the writer to the Hebrews tells us what faith is and what faith does. And when you get to the rest of the chapter from verses 4 through 40, that is a much fuller demonstration of the examples of those in the past who lived by faith. It's a great privilege and a great benefit for us to be able to go back and to consider those who lived by faith. We can look at their struggles, we can look at their accomplishments, we can look at the things that they really battled with and against, and we can look at how they triumphed in God. And all of those things, from whether they failed or whether they succeeded, living by faith is what we ought to look to. And so this is a great chapter for us to consider together, and we are in the process of doing that. This verse, verse 3, which says that by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. This verse is intimately connected with verses 1 and verse 2. For the simple reason that verse 3 can build upon or is built upon verses 1 and 2, looks back to now faith is and looks forward to what faith does. But sitting between what faith is and what faith does is this beautiful verse of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. And Hebrews 11 verse 3 demonstrates what we believe. It is a statement of what we say we believe. In fact, this is a statement saying that we believe in God. More than we believe in God, we believe God. And is not that verses 4 through 40, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, and on and on and on down the line, isn't that an example of all of their lives? They believed God. They believed God. Why did they believe God? Because God is reliable. And God can be trusted. God is the great promiser of His promises. And every Christian ought to embrace the promises of God and make them his or her own. And right here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, we find that this statement that is made is emblematic, or if you like, or true of every Christian. In other words, in order to confess Hebrews 11:3, you must be a Christian. Only a Christian can this be said of to be true. Notice what it says, by faith we understand. How do we understand? We understand by faith. What do we understand? That the universe was created by the Word of God. There is the doctrine of creation in just a few words. By faith we understand that this universe was created by the Word of God. And that little statement, was created by the Word of God, is under vociferous and direct attack today, is it not? In fact, it has been for almost 100 years. The doctrine of creation. More specifically, the doctrine that God made all things. More specifically, that the God of the Bible made all things. That's what we believe. In fact, every Christian believes that unequivocally. Every Christian would be prepared to sign, if that was a confession that you had to sign, to sign your name to that confession. You would do it willingly because you believe, do you not, that the universe was created by the Word of God. So this is a very powerful verse for every Christian as we look at it and as we comprehend it or try to. So we are enabled, I want to say this morning, as we look at verse 3, which is a demonstration and a description of linking faith in verses 1 and 2 with what follows, that we are enabled to comprehend and we are enabled to apprehend by faith things that are beyond our conception, beyond human reason, beyond science, beyond theological speculations or philosophies. Everything that we understand in the Word of God, we understand by faith. By faith. It is not a blind faith. It is a saving spiritual faith. A faith that God gives. It's a gift, a grace gift, this faith that we have. So verse 3 is an illustration or a picture of faith. You know, science cannot solve the mysteries of this universe, can it? It's absolutely impossible for science to solve the mysteries of the universe. Why? Well, the universe is just too vast. It's just too vast. And scientists are finite minds, not infallible minds, fallible minds that are finite. Made from dust, by the way. Made by God, by the way. But ruined by themselves via Adam. Philosophy or human speculation or reason cannot solve the mysteries of this universe. It is beyond comprehension. In fact, faith does not look to the complexity of our universe. Faith looks to the one who is so complex and who has made this universe with all of its complexities. Faith looks to that one. Behind the intricate details of all of creation, behind the intricacies of the complexities, there is God. And it is by faith that we look at that God. And it's by faith that we understand that that God made everything. In fact, it's by faith that we understand that only that God can make everything and has done so. So faith looks beyond the complexities to the complex Creator. And we embrace that in verse 3, as the passage says. Do you remember what God said to Job in Job chapter 38 and verse 4? Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of this earth? Where were you? You weren't even considered. You weren't even thought of in your parents' eyes because your parents didn't even exist. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of this earth? You ought to read those chapters of at the end of Job and see what God says about what He did way back when. Hebrews 11 verse 3 is a verse then that looks beyond that which is visible to that which is invisible. Hebrews 11 verse 3 is a verse that sees in the things that are made the hand of the invisible God. And how do we understand that? By faith. By faith. And so as believers in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we believe that this eternal God created the universe. A universe that, yes, in part we can observe with our physical eyes, and the things that are in this world and the things that are in this universe that, yes, we can view with our physical eyes. The heavens declare the glory of God. And beyond what we see is an immensity that we cannot comprehend. God made it. God made it. And we believe God made it. And we understand that God created this world by faith. By faith. You know, Professor T.L. Moore of the University of Cincinnati, more than 20 years ago, he wrote this. He says, to talk of evolution, of thought from sea slime to amoeba, and then from amoeba to a self-conscious human being, he says, means nothing. It is the easy solution of a thoughtless brain. That's true. That's true. Because true thinking, by the way, is dependent and rely upon true faith. Truth is truth. There's no, you can speculate about truth, but truth doesn't change, no matter what your speculations are. Truth is truth, and truth is God's truth, because God is true, and all truth comes from God. Now let's explore the details of this verse that is before us. Will you notice, first of all, in verse 3, that there are two parts to this verse, and that both of these parts are connected by a purpose statement, or clause, or a little phrase, or a reason phrase, so that... So the first part of verse 3 says this: by faith we understand that this world or the universe was created by the Word of God. That's the first part. The second part is, what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And the connection between those two statements is so that. It's by faith that we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Now if you want to stop there, that's okay. That's good. There's no harm in stopping there and saying, yes, that's exactly what I believe. But God tells us why He did that. So that by His spoken word, the things that were not seen, were not in existence, came to be. Things that you can't see, couldn't see, there was nothing. God spoke and it was there. And these two things we see in these verses. Now, this morning, I'm only going to start on just the first phrase, the first part. Now, faith, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. And I'm not going to cover every single thing that there is to cover, by the way, about this verse. We could spend a lot of time in this verse. The first clause is telling us simply that we believe that the universe was created by God. How do we understand that this universe was created and made by God? It's not by the work that is done in the laboratory. It is not by the work that is seen through a telescope. It is not by mathematical equations or scientific explorations, whether to the South Pole or the North Pole, which has been accomplished, of course, or climbing Mount Everest or whatever it is to get as near to God as you possibly can, because that's the highest part on the planet. None of those things. How do we understand and know that this universe was created by God? Look at the first two words. By faith. By faith we understand. And will you notice this word understand, which comes from the Greek word noeo? It simply means to perceive or to understand with the mind and the heart. To perceive and to understand with the mind and the heart. By faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from God. Faith is a gift of God. It's a gracious gift. And unless God gives you that gracious gift of faith, this universe is just beyond you. There must have been some other way it came into being. Whereas for the Christian, by faith we understand, by faith we perceive with mind and heart that which cannot be comprehended physically with the eyes. We understand that God created the universe. Now remember, what is faith? Faith is being assured, verse 1 tells us, assured of the reality of the promises of God. And it is being assured and convinced of the evidences belongs to us of the reality of things that we do not see, but yet know to be true and to exist. The promises of God, we believe them. We may not have experienced all of them. I think the promises of God are vast. And we have in the Word of God the promises of God which we haven't even begun to explore in depth what they mean. God will show us in eternity what those glorious promises are. But we believe them. That's what faith is. Faith believes the promises of God because faith believes in God. So these things that are not seen, we believe in the reality of the unseen things, the invisible things, by the invisible God who through faith has made them known to us. That's why by faith Abel did what he did. By faith Enoch did what he did. And it's by faith that we do what we do. Same faith. Not a different faith. Same faith. And remember that this faith is not a natural faith. It's not something we all have when we are born into this world with. Faith is not free will. Let's be very clear about that. Faith is not free will. People want to make faith free will. That's not faith. Faith is the gracious gift of God to enable us to believe. The saving instrumentality by which we embrace the promises of God. And remember that it is this faith, the same faith that lays hold of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The things that are said about Jesus, I believe them. I claim them as my own. It's the truth because God said it. I believe it. So we believe in propositional truth. Because propositional truth is truth from God. All truth is from God. And if you believe in truth, you must believe in God. And notice it says it's by faith then that we understand that this universe came into existence. This word universe is a very interesting word translated in the English text. It literally means the ages, aeonon. The ages. That word, the ages, is difficult to comprehend in and of itself. It literally means the container for that which is contained. The universe, the ages, the worlds are the container for everything that is contained within them. That's why I like what I think it is when we get a little bit later on. It's the King James Version talks about framing. Framing. And notice it says, verse 3, that this mighty universe, how did it come into existence? By the Word of God. Now, you know, in the Bible, there are three ways we understand what the Word of God is. Number one, there is the eternal Logos. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune God. He is the eternal Word. He is God the Son. He is the Word of God. So when we speak about the Word of God, we understand that our Lord Jesus is the Word of God. But secondly, there is also the Bible, isn't there? The Bible is the written Word of God. And so when we speak about the Word of God, we may be referring to the Holy Scriptures. We are either referring to our Lord Jesus as the eternal Word, or we are referring to the Holy Scriptures. But there is another way in which this word is used, and it is the way it is used in Hebrews 11 verse 3 and Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And this is the spoken Word of God. We have the personification of the Word, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the written Word, the Holy Scriptures. We have the spoken Word of God. And if you go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and look at verse 3, it says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the Word of His power. Same word that's used here, the word rhema in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. The spoken word of God. So the universe came into being by the spoken word of God. God spoke and it was there. Isn't that glorious? I mean, you can't conceive of that, can you? I can't. It's beyond us. God spoke, God commanded, and there it was. So what kind of God are we talking about that can do that? God is immense. God is glorious. God is beyond us. And is not this what we find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3? And God said, let there be light. There was light. Not light that I need to improve on. Not light like Thomas Edison, you know, it takes 100 light bulbs or however many times it took him to get it right. Not like that. God spoke, let there be light. There was light. There was light. Let's have some fish. The fishes teem the oceans. All in their complexity. And when you think of what an individual fish or an individual created being of God, animal, whatever it is, does, operates in its environment, whatever it is, it's glorious. It's complex. Because it comes from a complex God who's perfect. And so God just spoke and it came into existence. Now, lest you think that you are some kind of God yourself, I ask you, come here this morning and speak and something be created. It's impossible. It's impossible. There is not one of us who possesses creative power to speak with the word and instantly there is a creation. Can't do it. It's absolutely beyond any human being. That's why we make machines that help us and that break down and need new models and on and on and on it goes. That's our creation. But we don't speak the word and those things just happen. God spoke and this whole universe came into existence. This is God. And so this universe, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, was created by the powerful word of God. Our Lord Jesus, Hebrews 1:3, upholds this universe by the word of His power. He maintains everything perfectly by the word of His power. If He were to withdraw His word, chaos and destruction would enfold immediately. Romans chapter 4 verse 17 says that God calls into existence the things that do not exist. He calls them into existence and there they are. It's as if God struck the anvil of His creative power and from it the stars just flew. And launched into space and in the heavens, there they are, held by the word of God. And the light from those stars and those distant galaxies reach us thousands and thousands and thousands of years later. Can't comprehend it. Instantly God said, let there be light, and there it was. So we're speaking about God. In all of the debates that are in existence today in the universities and the theological academies and the seminaries and wherever it is, the newspapers, the media, whatever it is, they forget this one thing, that God spoke and it happened. And they say it's beyond comprehension, therefore it can't happen. Because I can't conceive of it, it can't be possible. Because it's not according to my reasoning faculties, it's impossible. It must be a lie. So these religious people are nuts because they're not using their minds. They've closed their hearts and their minds to truth and they believe in some fanciful theory. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that this faith is an understanding faith. This is a knowledgeable faith. This is a faith that believes God made all things. How did He do it? He spoke it. And it happened. And if I find a person who says that they're a Christian and does not believe that God spoke this world, the universe, the ages into existence, I'll tell them, you're not a Christian. Because by faith we understand that this universe was created by the Word of God. By the Word of God. And as we shall see, Lord willing, next week, oh, it's built upon things that are, you know, things that just weren't there, out of nothing, ex nihilo. There it is. Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. By Your will. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 1 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Apostle Peter says, this is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets. Just think about that. Why am I writing to you? I have to remind you what the prophet said long ago. And the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all. Now look at that. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come. I'm so glad that the Apostle Peter could say, look, first of all, I want to warn you that scoffers are coming. And look what he says. They will come in the last days, and how will they come? With scoffing, mocking, following their own sinful desires. And they will say, verse 4, where is the promise of His coming? You Christians, you're always talking about the coming of Jesus. Where is the coming of Jesus? Look, everything continues as it always has been. Nothing has ever changed. You're talking nonsense. But look what the Scriptures say. Verse 4, for ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they, that's what the scoffers say, right? Verse 5, for they deliberately, notice that word, purposefully, deliberately overlook this fact. They forget one thing, that the heavens existed long ago, before they did, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And verse 6, and that by means of these, the Word of God, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. So here we have God creating the heavens and the earth. It tells us that the earth through water by the Word of God, and with that same water spoken by the same Word of God, the flood came and everyone perished. Now look at verse 7. By the same Word, the heavens and earth that now exist, so look around you, look at the earth, look at the heavens, that now exist are stored up for fire, are reserved for destruction. They are being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Now, let me tell you this. What is going to happen on the day of judgment? It's going to be an awful lot of destruction, isn't there? This earth, these heavens, are stored up to be destroyed by the same word that made everything. Jesus will speak it, and it's gone. Destroyed. Consumed. In an instant. On the day of judgment. And, it says, the destruction of the ungodly. How will the destruction of the ungodly come about? Jesus will speak it. Done. Does not the beast and the false prophet be destroyed in a similar way? He speaks the word, the enemies of Christ are destroyed, and they are cast immediately with the devil, with the dragon, with the serpent, into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Finished. Jesus will speak it, and it's done. Same word. Same word that made everything beautiful. Same powerful word that holds everything together. Your bodies, all those atoms and whatever it is working together are held there by the word of Jesus. Let Him take His word back away. Stop saying it and you're gone. And that's what He will do. Speak it, destroy it, and it's over. And the same with this heaven, the present heavens and the present earth. He will speak the same word and they shall be destroyed. Now the question before us in Hebrews 11:3 is, well, what does the writer mean when he says, were created? That this universe was created. This is the word kartatizo, which means to fit together, to put in order, to frame, to bring into existence, to arrange. That's why the Authorized Version uses framed as a word. I like that. It's by faith that we understand that the universe was fitted together by the Word of God. You know, when we put a jigsaw puzzle together, the bigger the jigsaw puzzle, the more complex the jigsaw puzzle, the more difficult it is to put it together. And sometimes two or three or four pieces may look the same, and you choose the wrong one, and you put it in the place, it just doesn't quite fit, but you force it in there. And you say, yeah, it fits now, you see? And then just as you're working on, a little bit later, you come across the right piece. And you have to go back to that jigsaw puzzle and kind of take out, careful you don't tear it, that piece you put in, and you put in the right piece. Now think of, just multiply that jigsaw puzzle a million, zillion, trillion times in its complexity. God spoke, instant, there it is. Perfect operation. In terms of its administration and in terms of its operation, perfection. It's a perfect word from our perfect God. God did not make the universe like a jigsaw puzzle. He didn't make a mistake. He spoke the word and instantly it came into existence. In fact, in Genesis 1, we know that this world, this earth, this world was made in how many days? 6 days. God made this in 6 days, and we ought not to think that at the end of day one, God said to himself, you know, what shall I do tomorrow? What shall I make tomorrow? I haven't thought that far ahead. I mean, day one was complex enough. How can I, day two, that's just beyond me. That's not how God thinks. Day one came, there was morning and there was evening, day one. And then, second day, I'll do something else. Beautiful. Perfect. There was morning and there was evening the second day. And on and on and on for 6 days. Everything. Perfectly working. No ruin, no catastrophes, just perfection. Spoken word. There it is. And the 6 days of creation, of course, are designed by God to be a lesson for us. What lesson is it? That God worked for 6 days and then on the seventh day, He rested. And so in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, we have the principle of creation and the principle of Sabbath and the principle of work. God worked 6 days and then He rested on the seventh. So too we labor for 6 days and then rest on a seventh day. That's not just something that we thought up. We like, maybe we want an extra 2 days to rest. God says, this is how I worked 6 days and I rested 1 day. Now we just accept that by faith. Day one, day two, we accept it by faith. And so we accept not just the universe and all of its spectacular complexity, but this world, this earth, this dust that we live on, this little planet that just spinning in space on a tilted axis, by the way, which is vital and necessary in orbit, year in and year out, by the Word of God, it does that. Unbelieving men and women and boys and girls do not accept that God made this earth, nor do they accept that God made them. That God made them. I do not need to tell you that since the publication of Charles Darwin's The Origin of the Species, that a storm of controversy has engulfed this world. Debate between scientists and Christians rage on and on and on. And you know, at the same time as when Darwin was putting forth his theories of natural selection and evolution, at the same time there came a decline in the belief that this book was the authoritative, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. This is God's only certain, sufficient rule, infallible rule of all saving knowledge. and faith and obedience. Here it is. Unbelievers don't accept that. They reject that. And higher criticism came along around the same time as Charles Darwin, and it paved the way for an easy marriage, if you like, between liberal theology and Darwinian evolution. And isn't it interesting at the same time that these two things occurred? I find that very fascinating. Liberal theology makes its rise, natural selection makes its rise, and they marry together. And religion marries science, but it's a religion that is skeptical and doesn't believe the Bible. A religion that is scientific. That's what the liberals would have you believe. That unless you can rationally say this is how it worked and empirically define it, this is what it is and how it came to be, unless you can do that, we don't believe it. It's not, can't be true. It has to be proven. It's not by proof that we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. It's not by proof. It's not by science that we understand that the word that this universe was created by the Word of God. It's not by philosophy. It's not by reason. It's not by human speculation that we understand that this universe was created by the Word of God. That's not how we understand it. We understand it by faith, which is the gift of God. By faith. Now, Hebrews 11 speaks of creation in this verse, does it not? So let me say a word what this means in the context of the whole chapter, verse 3. Let me point out what verse 3 is saying about the creation of the universe. Number one, the universe is not eternal. You know, a lot of people like to think, well, the universe just beyond us must be eternal. No, the universe is not eternal. Only God is eternal. If you make the universe eternal, the universe is God. Because only God is eternal. And how do we know that it's not eternal? Because look what verse 3 says. It instructs us that it was created. Something that's created is not eternal at its starting point. Now, things that are made can last forever. Here we are. And there is eternity built into ourselves. And we shall last forever. But there was a time when we did not exist like this. In the mind of God, of course, we existed. But we did not have physical existence. So this verse says to us that it's by faith that we understand that the universe was created. And 2 Peter 3:7 tells us that the same universe is destined for destruction at the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. That's the real D-Day, by the way. We have memorials to D-Day, do we not? That's the D-Day. And you know what the memorials for that D-Day are? All the destruction of the ungodly and all the salvation of the godly. Those are the memorials to that great day of judgment. Those lost, those saved. Those blind, those who see. Those who by science and by reason, etc., etc. Those who by faith understand that God created this universe by the word of His power. Secondly, the universe did not make itself spontaneously. How do we know this? It says in verse 3 that the creation of this universe is by the word of God. God commanded it and it happened. So it did not happen spontaneously. Of course, today, scientists want to tell you that it's spontaneously doing things. The universe is doing things. If it is doing things, and I don't know if it's doing things, but if it is doing things, God's doing them. That's what I know. God's doing them. God has not wound up the universe like some gigantic coil or watchmaker spring in a watch, let it go, and it's going tick, 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 and it's winding down, tick, 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 and everything's working according to that winding down. No. William Paley came up with the watchmaker theory. There's truth to it in some senses, but it cannot explain the complexities of our God and His creation. Number three, the universe, therefore, was made by someone else. By who? We understand by faith that the universe was created by the Word of God. So the universe was made by God. God is the maker of the universe, the ages, the worlds. And number four, God made that universe by divine fiat, by divine command. He spoke the word and it came into existence. That's power. Only God has that. And when God spoke this word, things that were not in existence happened. And that is the proof of the creation or the creatorial power of our glorious God, that it exists in the fact that things that were not existent, He spoke it and they existed perfectly by His Word. Number five, the universe was made out of nothing. Now, can you comprehend that? I mean, you look at space and you say, well, there are some things out there, I know, but mainly it's just nothing. No, no. The universe was made out of nothing. Now, we have to be careful here when we rationalize and become philosophers in our mind and we look at nothing and we say, well, nothing must be something. No, way back whenever it was nothing. There was only God. There was only God. And God spoke it, and what was nothing became something. The worlds, man, the animals, all of these things. And God maintains this universe, does He not, by the word of His power. I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus maintains all things by His word. And you see, because we are in Christ, the destruction of the universe is something I think that we shall observe on that day of judgment. And we shall be so glad that we are in Christ and not out of Christ. When this heaven and this earth are destroyed by the same word that brought the flood and that brought those things that never existed into existence in the first place. Now, in order to combat the inroads and the attacks in our day upon the doctrine of creationism, scientists who may be Christian or may not be Christian, let me say that again. In order for us to defend or combat the inroads that are made against the doctrine of creation, scientists who may be Christians and scientists who may not be Christians have offered an alternative theory to Darwin's evolutionary theory, and we know that, of course, as the theory of intelligent design, or ID. We all know about ID. It's my identity. I want to say a very cautious word about intelligent design this morning. You might want to make these points. Number one, I see absolutely no reason why Christians cannot argue from a scientific point of view what we may call, or they call, intelligent design, but which I would much rather or prefer that we call the creation of God. Notice that Hebrews 11:3 says with conviction and with authority that it is by faith we understand. No faith, no understanding. Understanding is subordinate to faith. Now notice that. The scientists will reverse the order and put understanding here, and we can't understand everything they'll tell you, but understanding must be here before you have any faith. If you want to have faith, that's okay. That's okay. But don't bring that faith into science, into reason. Keep it first and sublimate everything else. Now, we understand that it's by faith that God created this universe, as Hebrews 11 verse 3. But will you notice equally that it's not by science? If God wanted us to know these things by science, He would have told us, by science you will understand the complexities of this universe. But He uses something that an unbeliever will reject completely, by faith. God uses the foolish things of this world to plague the minds of the unbeliever, to drive them insane, to drive them mad. Why? So that perhaps they may turn to God and find Him in their madness. Will you notice it's not by reason, it's not by philosophy, or argument that we understand that this universe was created. So if you were arguing with a scientist and you were arguing limited to science, science is not going to prove it. But we accept the proof of it by faith only. And you see, this is the distinction between those who by faith live for God and those who do not live for God. That cutting line is faith. Number two, I see no reason why Christians cannot declare a full belief and a full commitment to the doctrine of creation without undue concern for what civil rulers or governments may or may not say. Something has happened to the church. We have become afraid to say that it is God who created it and that's the end of it. And you can say what you like. You can't change the facts. God made this world. Now, please don't get the idea that I am decrying or denouncing Christian Science scientists. There is a field of science that is enormous, and thank God we have Christian men and women who work and labor in that. I know that they know God made all things, and that all that they do prove, if and when they do prove, whatever they do prove, that they're simply saying it came from God. I know that. That's what a Christian would say. And so if you're a molecular biologist and you're working with all of these little busy bodies under the microscope, you will say that they work perfectly because God made them. That's what a Christian scientist will say. So I see no reason why we ought not to be able to declare a full, authoritative statement that we believe in the creation of this world because the Bible says it and God is true. And if it's not true, then there is no God and we are nothing. But praise God, that's not this case. Number three, intelligence design seems to me to weaken the case for God as creator by referring to God as the intelligent designer. It's like a backdoor approach. Can't come in the front door and say God is the creator. So we'll come in the back door or the side door through the window or whatever it is to get into the building. And once we're in the building, now we want to say that this designer is an intelligent designer. But we don't want to say that he is the glorious God of the universe. I don't understand that. It seems to me that if we affirm and profess and confess our faith, let's say our faith as it is. I believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the maker of heaven and earth. Let me ask you, do you believe that? That's good. It's by faith. You know, ID, or intelligent design, likes to argue that due to the complexity of the universe, that therefore there has to be a designer. Now that could be yes or no. Maybe, maybe not be true. They argue from the complexity of it, but they will hesitate to call the designer God of the Bible, the God of Genesis 1, the God of Genesis 2, especially in the public arena. Number four, when we teach our children and grandchildren, I believe we should teach them the doctrine of God with or creation with God named specifically as the creator of all things. There's no better place than to start than to describe the complexities of this universe to a young child by saying it's God who made these things and nobody else could. And the Bible tells us that God made them. It's not necessary to provide all kinds of arguments to prove that there had to have been a creator or intelligent designer, because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand. Now, if intelligent design is to help ungodly scientists or unbelieving scientists to open their eyes to the great God of the universe, then I say that's a good thing. If it does that, that's a great thing. But we must remember that it is God who opens the eyes. It's not science that opens the eyes. It's God who made the science who opens the eyes to appreciate the beauty and the splendor of the science. You know, intelligent design is really grounded on two arguments. The number one main argument is irreducible complexity. In other words, there are certain biological systems that are so complex beyond our comprehension that it is not possible for those complex systems to have evolved from much simpler systems. It's irreducible complexity. You can't reduce the complex nature of what we see back and back and back to that slimy amoeba. can't do it. Okay? That's their main argument, intelligent design. Number two, specified complexity. That there are certain patterns that exist that are just too specified and too complex to just have happened. That may or may not be true. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a Christian by faith. So intelligent design advocates will speak of an intelligent designer as a willed or self-conscious entity. But let me ask you this morning, would you ever describe God as a willed or self-conscious entity? Not me. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does it describe God as a willed and self-conscious entity. No, the God of the Bible is who He is. That is why when you get to verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God, for whoever draws near to this God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who seek Him. Must believe. Notice that. No option. Must believe if you want to please God. Now how do you do that? By faith. So, you get the idea, I trust by now, that faith is important. And faith is a gift from God. And it's by this instrumentality of faith that we perceive the wonders and the glories of what God has made. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Doesn't matter. I believe God laid them. He laid them. I would like to suggest to us this morning that when we speak to people about creation, the issue is not the complexity of the design. The issue is the designer, the creator. The issue is God. Let us not take a backdoor approach, but let us take a front door approach. Let us come boldly in through the front door. And let us state that our God is the God of Scripture, the God who by His Word spoke all things into existence. And so the issue is not the complexity, the issue is the living God. And the question before us this morning, as always, is do you believe in that living God? The God who spoke all things into being. Because unless you do, you shall continue in your sins. And unless you repent and go on repenting, and unless you believe and go on believing, you shall be like the end of chapter 10 in Hebrews. Those who shrink back are those who do it to the destruction of their souls. But those who persevere in faith do it to the preservation and the saving of themselves. We must be like the Apostle Paul, surely, in Acts chapter 17. Before those philosophers, scientists, if you like, of Athens. Who told them that he had seen this inscription on this statue to the unknown God. And how does Paul describe? He says, that unknown God that you worship, I will declare Him to you. And the Bible says, He began with God who made the heaven and the earth. That's where He started. For philosophers who didn't believe in God. God who made the heaven and the earth. And I say to the scientists of today, it does not matter what you believe. Unless you believe in God. Believe in God. So let us say that the intelligent designer of this universe is our living and true and glorious God. And only God can give us this understanding. And we can only believe that God is who He says He is. And we can only believe that God does what He says He does by faith. By faith. Let us be strong Christians in our faith. Let us just lay our lives on the belief that God is who He says He is. And let us face a world that doesn't believe that. Christians have been doing that for centuries. And let me say this morning that unless you receive and unless you believe in the Lord Jesus as your own Lord and your own Savior, your eyes shall be blind to the truth of God. Shut to the God of this universe and His glories and His perfections. This universe is a display of the glory of God, and this universe is sustained and maintained by the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the enemies of the cross of Jesus shall one day perish by the same word. Let us labor to ensure that they come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. May that be your faith and my faith today. Let's pray. What is it, Father, that overcomes the world? It is our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. What would we have done if you had not opened our eyes to see the glorious truth contained in your precious word? What would we have done if that blessed Holy Spirit had not come in convicting power and opened our hearts and minds to see the glories of Jesus? Oh, we would perish, and ultimately that same word that made all things would be the same word to decree our destruction. Oh, Father, how blessed we are to be a saved people by grace through faith. May that make a difference in each of our lives today and tomorrow and for the rest of our lives. May we worship at the feet of Jesus and at the throne of God, this glorious God of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, maker of heaven and earth. We thank you for our Lord Jesus, who died for sinners such as us, who offered himself as an atonement and a propitiation for sin, who has satisfied the demands of divine justice, who has become a curse for us by being hanged on a tree. Oh, unless we repent and look to him, we shall perish. So grant to us faith day by day, that having come to Jesus, we may moment by moment, by faith, by faith, by faith, encounter the wisdom of this world and the things that surround us. We are on a pilgrim's path, Father. We are citizens of a heavenly country. We are aliens and strangers on this earth. You are bringing us home. Bring us in our faith, and by our faith we pray. We ask these things in that holy name, that name that is beautiful and above all other names, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing in closing hymn 353, 353, Victory in Jesus. 353, remaining seated. Victory in Jesus.